Brother Theo and fellow Kalyana Mitras from PJ, welcome. It's quite kind of Brother Theo to come and give us this talk, as he happened to have come back from China only yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, I think that he did not have much rest, but out of compassion to share Dharma knowledge with us, he is here tonight. So tonight's topic is the four samapadana. Samapadana is the four efforts. So this is part of the 37 factors of enlightenment. And the word effort is mentioned several times in these 37 factors of enlightenment. And it has differences in meaning. So for tonight's topic, it is the four right effort. And we believe that Brother Theo will be able to explain to us more clearly between this four right effort and the effort as mentioned in the five faculties or five powers. And to me personally, I think there's a difference in the meaning, right? So as usual, before he takes over the mic, let us take our refuge in the Triple Gem and observe the precept. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddham saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sura meraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So tonight's topic is a continuation from our earlier topic. I think this year what Brother Gan intend to cover is the 37 factors of enlightenment. And today's topic, which is the importance of the for supreme right effort cultivation as an integral part of the enlightenment cultivation. As pointed out by Brother Tay in the introduction, you have to be very careful. This English word, right effort or supreme right effort, the word effort, they have been used in many places within the 37 factors of enlightenment. But these four right efforts, if you understand, they are different. They are not what the other five spiritual faculties, where there is also the virya. Virya, the English translation, is also translated as right effort, but it's not effort. Virya is a spiritual zeal or spiritual tenacity. There is an energy inside there to drive you to cultivate. And that is not an effort. There's a spiritual zeal. Means there is this strong intensity to cultivate because you see the importance of this teaching. You have understood clearly how unique and how great the Buddha is because of his great perfection, cultivation. And he is not only an enlightened being, he is a fully enlightened Sammasambuddha. And because of that virtue and wisdom, he has perfected all wisdom and understanding and virtue that enable him to proclaim the Four Noble Truths, which was the essence of his teaching. And this Four Noble Truths, they are very unique truth, like the word noble truth, truth that can awaken the living beings, not only human beings, and transform you into noble ones or enlightened ones. In the early years, during the Buddha's time, the enlightened beings are called Aryas, and Aryas are noble ones. And the reason why they call them Aryas or noble ones are because when you are enlightened, you have very noble qualities in you. You are very noble in your understanding of life, in your understanding of the nature's laws that governs life and existence. And you are also very noble in all aspects of life. The way you arise your thought process, the way you communicate with people through your speech. You are very noble in all aspects of communication. Then the way you act, the way you speak. You have these noble qualities in you that make you very different from others. Then you also have very noble quality to train yourself. That's how the four right effort come in. This four right effort is not only part of the 37 factors of enlightenment. They are also part of the Noble Eightfold Path. And the Noble Eightfold Path is also part of the 37 factors of enlightenment. But the English translation, if you are not careful, it can be misleading. This word, under Noble Eightfold Path, the four right effort, they call it Sammavayama. Sama is like right. Vayama, they translate it as effort, which in this case is appropriate and correct because it involves the thought process. That's why there is effort involved. But when it comes to spiritual faculties, there is no effort involved. It's a spiritual zeal or tenacity that drives you to cultivate the Buddha's teaching, to understand the essence of the Buddha's teaching because you see the importance of it and you understand the beauty of that teaching. That's why you are determined, very, very determined, And this virya or spiritual zeal and tenacity to walk this way, to cultivate this understanding, it will arise within your heart, your nature, and it will drive you to cultivate. Can we off this fan or not? this one. It's blowing directly at me. Just off the thing. Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much. Your aircon is cold enough. Don't worry. So now with the fan off, you can hear more clearly because the vibration from the fan also not there. But you want to on this fan, you can on the other fan. Oh, it's connected.
It's disconnected.
Oh, it's the two plug.
It's full of.
From one plug.
Extension plug.
No, I think the plug is here. You have to take this plug and plug. That plug is for this fan, I think. Yeah. No, just plug it up there. You pull that one out, then plug the other one in. Then plug the other one in. very good. So while they are doing this, I better write it down. So the Pali word is different. For the four right effort, it's called Vayama. Sama is right. Vayama. So this one is within the Noble Eightfold Path. This one is effort. Whereas the other one under the five spiritual faculty is called Virya. Virya, this is spiritual zeal. Zeal. Or tenacity to go this way. So these two are very distinct. Different Pali words. That's why there is a big difference. But a lot of cultivators, they mix them up because they focus on the English cultivation, English translation without understanding the Pali term. So tonight, we have to make this clear so that people can understand. Effort will be involved when you are using your thought. That's why these four right efforts, they are all related to the thought process. But when it comes to purification of mind, the Buddha always used sati, mindfulness. He never used the word right effort. Yeah. But in this particular case, because it involved the thought, that's why the four right effort comes about. So we will now zero in on how the teaching comes about. This Noble Eightfold Path, as you all understand, is part of the Fourth Noble Truth. Under the Fourth Noble Truth, the Buddha said, there is this Noble Eightfold Path. If you cultivate it, it will lead to the end of all suffering. It will lead to the enlightenment in the here and the now. So this is in fact the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So because this Noble Eightfold Path, it also covers the four right effort, that's the reason why this four right effort is also an integral part of the cultivation leading to enlightenment. And this title was chosen by Brother Gan. So he added in this part, importance of the four supreme or right effort cultivation as an integral part of enlightenment. So if you don't do this, enlightenment in the here and the now is not possible. Yeah. So how do we develop the clear understanding so that we can put it into practice or develop the cultivation according to the Buddha's teaching? As we all understand, The Noble Eightfold Path starts with right view, samadhi. Right view or right understanding with regards to all of the spiritual laws that governs all of life and existence. So there are three right views. What are the three? We have gone through this before. First one is what? Right view with regards to what? Karma niyama. Okay? So this one is a very important one. Karma niyama means right view with regards to this law of karma. Second one is citta niyama, which is right view with regards to what? Law of the mind. How you function as a human being, as a living being. The third one is Dhamma Niyama. The spiritual law of Dhamma, which is the other truth, not covered by the above two. From this three right view, the whole of the Buddha's teaching, spin off, it comes about. Especially the first right view with regards to the law of karma. And the Buddha, under his teaching, explained it very clearly. He said we have to reflect every day, he told the monk. The five daily contemplation that you have to contemplate on to develop the clear understanding of this particular right view. Especially the fifth contemplation. The first four is related to the first noble truth realities. The fifth one is related to this law of karma. The Buddha said we have to reflect constantly, daily. All living beings, not only human beings, they are all born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. If you understand that this is the nature's law, what must you do? What must you do? All of your life is dependent on what? Dependent on what? Karma, isn't it? You are born of it, like the Buddha said. You are heir to it. You inherit everything. And you are supported and conditioned by it every moment, every instant. And you are what you are because of it. If karma plays such a great role in your life, in your existence, you have to take care of karma. And how do you take care of karma? The law of karma is very simple. It's a spiritual law, moral causation. The Buddha said, to every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, but it involves the mental intention. So they call it the moral causation. That's why most people interpret the law of karma as you reap what you sow. If you plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. If you plant the seeds of wholesomeness, goodness, virtue, you will reap the seed, the fruit of virtue and wholesomeness. And you are what you are because of your karma. So because of that, this statement is very important. You reap what you sow. If you want to have good life, the beautiful life, you must take care of karma. And how do you take care of karma? How do you take care of karma? Because you reap what you sow. What must you do? What must you do? You have to follow the advice of the Buddha. And what is the advice of the Buddha? It comes from this right view. In order to take care of karma, you have to avoid all evil. Because if you commit evil, if you perform evil, you will reap the fruit of your evil action, which is the karmic vipaka, negativity, karmic friction of your wrong action, wrong speech and wrong talk. Wrong thought process and wrong livelihood. And because of all this, You will come to understand how the Buddha, because of his great wisdom and a great understanding, all Buddhas, when they come, they teach the same. First, all evil you have to avoid. That is based on Dhammapada verse 183. That's why he used the word sabba papasa akaranam. Sabba is all. Papasa is evil. It's all evil akaranam you have to avoid. You cannot commit any of this. And because of that, the Buddha said, you need to keep your precept. So the first advice is, all evil is to be avoided. So how do you do it? You have to keep your precepts. Keep your precepts. If you don't do that, you will have problem. Because like what we have gone through in the early days, what are precepts? Precepts are training rules that you have to observe. Because those who violate the five precepts, the minimum five precepts, the basic precepts, they are evil people. You can check them all. In order to break any of the five precepts, the three evil roots, they are all there. Otherwise, you won't break. At least two of them will be there. Yeah. And most of the time, it's all three. Take, for example, the first precept. Panatipata veramani sikha padang samadhi yami. So this is the precept that we renew every day when we chant. And it's the first precept. And this is the most important. Yeah, when you kill or harm, you will cause suffering to fellow living beings, even those who commit suicide. And there is a karmic vipaka of friction of what you do. Whatever you do to people, you cause them suffering, misery. The friction of it, when there is condition, it can be in the same life or in future life. When the fruition of it coming vipaka, you will have to reap what you sow. Whatever action that you have committed, your karmic negativity through violating this precept, you have to pay them back. Means you will become the victim in future. People will kill you, will harm you, will cause misery and suffering in you. If that is not what you want in life, then you better develop the heedfulness to train yourself to undertake that training rule to abstain from killing and causing harm or misery to fellow living beings. And this is how precepts can help you. And if we were to analyze this precept, we ask ourselves a very simple question. Who kill? Who harm? What type of person will do this type of thing? What type of person will do this type of thing? Either violent people, angry people, full of hatred, jealousy, selfish people, greedy people. And people with this evil root, they are deluded. That's why all the three evil roots are there. So that's the reason why you have to keep your precept. If you don't keep your precept, you will have a lot of problems in life. Then the karmic friction of it. Vipaka, karmic vipaka. It will bring about suffering and misery to you. And you reap what you sow. Whatever you do to people, fellow living beings, when there is condition, you become the victim. People will do back to you. The other precepts are the same, you check. That's why to avoid all evil, you have to keep your precept. Because those who violate the precept, they are evil people with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And this is how the teaching come about. And the Buddha expanded on the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why in order to cultivate these precepts, to do it according to the Buddha's teaching, you have to develop the understanding of what constitutes evil. The problem with the Buddhist teaching nowadays is they only tell you the theory, three evil roots, greed, hatred, and delusion, but they never explain beyond that. They are called evil root because they are the root of all evil. They make you evil. If you have greediness, selfishness, possessiveness, covetousness, lust, craving, desire, all these are covered by the evil root of greed. In Pali, it's called lobha. So when you expand on it and when you understand all this, then every time when you go through life, you live your life, you check. Do you have them? Are you selfish? If you are selfish, you have anger, you have envy, jealousy, violence, negativity. All this, they constitute evil. They are called evil roots, root of all evil. They make you evil. That's why people with all these evil roots, they will break the precept. They will become violent. They will become very, very greedy, selfish. And because of their desire, their craving, their lust, their covetousness, they can do a lot of evil things. They can cause to kill, to harm, to cheat, to deceive, to misappropriate, and bring about misery and suffering to the world, to society. Because they only think of their own interests, the selfish interests, and nothing else. So this is how the teaching comes about, and this is how you must understand it. So after you understand what constitutes evil, then only you can train your mind to be mindful of this evil root. Let's say you have this anger in you. According to the Buddha, anger is an evil root. Root of all evil, make you evil. So you keep your anger, your hatred inside your heart, inside your mind state, what will happen? It is an evil root. It will make you evil. That's why when you are angry, full of hatred, jealousy, you can do a lot of wrong things. You can give rise to a lot of karmic negativity. You can kill, you can harm, you can do a lot of other funny things. If you maintain your anger and hatred towards somebody, even your enemy, or sometimes towards your own loved ones, who can be your good friend, your parents, your brothers, your sisters, sometimes because of misunderstanding, you hate them so much due to your wrong view, lack of understanding. So what happened? That is an evil root. They also call it the three poison. It will kill you spiritually because they are poison. If you keep them in your heart, not only they make you ill, spiritually you are dead. That's why you don't stand a chance because these are mental hindrance. It will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness or mindfulness, to be aware of what is going on, to develop the wisdom to understand clearly who you are, what you are, and what is this so-called human being all about, so that you can see clearly and understand why the Buddha called this human being or living being the five aggregate of form and mind. Then you will start to understand how you function as a human being. So all these are related to the teaching based on the Buddha's understanding of this law of karma. So the first advice to avoid all evil is very important. Then the second advice is cultivate whatever wholesomeness, goodness that are still not in you. All of the virtuous conduct, the virtue that you can bring forth. That is the second advice. Then the final advice is, after you can avoid all evil deeds, you have to train your mind, develop the meditation to purify your mind so that you can awaken, develop the wisdom to become liberated so that your mind can transcend life, can develop the awakening, the wisdom needed for your mind to liberate from the conditioned world. You need to awaken to the three universal characteristics of impermanent suffering state, non-self or empty nature of existence, so that you are not deluded by the phenomenal world. These universal characteristics are very important for awakening, for liberation. So these first two advice, they are related to the cultivation of the four right effort. So according to the Buddha, from the right view, the first spiritual right view of law of karma, you develop the understanding to determine very strongly with the faith, sadha, leading to the virya, the spiritual zeal and tenacity, to cultivate his teaching, to follow his advice, to avoid all evil, to good, and purify the mind. So how do you do that? This one comes about because of this teaching, the four supreme effort of right effort. So according to the Buddha, this four right effort or supreme effort, they constitute two negative, two positive. So he said, this four right effort, you can remember them through these four keywords. The first two right efforts, they deal with the wrong thought. So the first one is, first right effort is right effort to do what? Huh? Right effort to do what? Huh? Right effort to? What is the keyword for the first right effort? Abandon. Huh? Abandon what? Abandon what? Huh? Evil roots. But most of the time it's called the wrong thought. Understand not? So the first right effort is the right effort to abandon. Sorry. To abandon the wrong thought that has arisen. Wrong thought. That has a reason. So this keyword is abandon. Then the second right effort is what? Second right effort is to? What is the keyword? Prevent, yes. Prevent the arising of this wrong thought. So prevent is the keyword. Then the other two, this one are related to wrong thought, the first two. Wrong thought. The other two are related to the right thought. wrong thought. Then the third and the fourth, right effort, they are related to right thought. Okay, so the third right effort is to, what is the keyword? Huh? No. Not arise. You can use the word arise, but the one that is normally used by the text. What is it? To cultivate, yeah? To cultivate one. To cultivate. Yeah? To cultivate, the key word is cultivate, yeah? To cultivate the right thought that are still not in you. So I got no place to write, huh? To cultivate right thought. That are still not in you. Means whatever right thought, good thought, wholesome thought, that are still not in you. You have to arise the right effort to cultivate them. Then the fourth one is what? Right effort to? The fourth right effort is to refine upon. Refine upon. Yeah? And perfect all this, all those right thoughts that are already in you. Do you realize all this four right effort, they have a lot to do with thought? Perfect, huh? F-E, huh? To refine upon and perfect all those right thoughts that are already in you. So these are the four keywords. We have to circle them. First one is abandon. Then prevent. Then the next two is cultivate. Refine upon and perfect them. These four, they are related to thought. This is still thought based, but they are important because to live life, you need to use thought. But to cultivate this, you need mindfulness, you need sati. Otherwise, you cannot. You need to understand what constitutes wrong thought, what constitutes right thought. What constitutes virtue, wholesomeness, goodness, kindness, gentleness. So all this is part and parcel of the whole Noble Eightfold Path teaching, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. The first right effort, which is the right effort to abandon the wrong thought that has arisen. So you need to understand what constitutes wrong thought. Otherwise, how can you abandon them? True or not? True or not? Now I ask you the simple question. If you can't understand what constitutes wrong thought, then how are you going to cultivate? Okay, now I ask you. What constitutes wrong thought? You're supposed to abandon them, no? Then how to abandon them is another big topic, no? There are five ways to abandon them, no? The Buddha taught. First two way is thought-based. The third and fourth way is meditative. The fifth way is you cannot do all the four as taught by the Buddha or recommended by the Buddha. The Buddha say you have to do it your own way. You have to determine very strongly with your tongue against the palate to abandon it. He cannot help you anymore. So in Cantonese, it's le chi ge zap sang. He cannot teach you anymore. If the first four he teach you, you also cannot do. You have to do it on your own. You have to, through pure determination, to abandon it. No other way. It's like ngao ji nga kan. Endure and abandon it. Okay, now coming back to the question. What constitutes wrong thought? If you don't even know what constitutes wrong thought, how are you going to put this for right effort into cultivation? True or not? So what constitutes wrong thought? They only teach you what constitutes right thought, no? And the right thought that they teach you is very limited in the text, especially the Theravada text. What did they teach you about right thought? You always read in the text there. What are right thoughts? They always tell you these four things. What are they? The Brahma cultivate that one. The four Brahma vihara is there. They always say when you have metta, loving kindness, or karuna, compassion, or mudita, rejoicing, or equanimity, upeka, then you have right thought. Are you sure these are the four right thoughts? There are so much more to it. And they didn't understand. They said they cannot elaborate on it. Then they completely forget about what constitutes wrong thought. No, they never teach you that. Have you ever read anywhere in any books or heard from anybody what constitutes wrong thought? Have you heard them? Then what constitutes wrong thought? What constitutes wrong thought? Well, I have a drink. You can reflect and contemplate for a while. Because just now the noodle, Hokkien cha, wow, a lot of jiao cha is like that, still stuck in my throat, I think. What are wrong thought? What constitutes wrong thought? Thought that has what? The three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then you expand on it. What are these three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion? We already went through that. Greed. It's not only your greediness that is greed. All of your selfishness is greed. All of your lust, desire, craving, covetousness, your like, even your possessiveness, these are all covered under the evil roots of greed. So whatever thought that has these evil roots of greed, they are wrong thought. Your selfish thought, your lustful thought, your desire, your craving, your attachment, your clinging, your grasping, whatever that you hold on to dearly, these are all wrong thought. It will bring about suffering. It will bring about karmic negativity. Then the second evil root is what? They call it dosa in Pali. Dosa is what? All of your anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, dislike, unpleasant reaction to sense experience, negative emotion, they are all wrong thought, born of the evil roots of hatred. So all of your mind state that has this evil root of anger, hatred, jealousy, envy, they are wrong thought. They are root of all evil. They will make you evil. And you have to abandon them. Then the fourth one is what? The third one is what? The evil root of delusion. What are the evil roots of delusion? Yeah, Sakkaya Ditti is one of them. Self-delusion, delusion of the self. But then what are the characteristics of self-delusion? What are the mind state that arise when there is self-delusion? That is the important one. And that one is not taught. Self-delusion can lead to what? Your craving, your desire, your selfishness, your envy, your jealousy, all this can come from self-delusion, where you think you exist. And when you think you exist, what happened? You want to have things, you want to own things. Then there is selfishness, there is craving. Then because you think you exist, when you cannot get what you want, you become angry, you become emotional. Then you can have hatred, jealousy, envy, and all these things. That's how self-delusion can trigger all this. But self-delusion can also trigger off fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. These are all the evil roots of delusion. Because when you believe this is you, you worry about this body getting old, getting sick, and one day will die. That's why this fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, they will lead to restlessness of mind. They will lead to sorrow and lamentation. So, coming back to the wrong thought, what constitutes wrong thought? So you can now easily define what is wrong thought. Thought that has the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, they are all wrong thought. So thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your unhappiness, your selfishness, your lustfulness, your possessiveness, your covetousness, your desire and your craving, your anger, your hatred, the envy, jealousy, your dislike and reaction to sense experience, pleasant, unpleasant. These are all wrong thoughts. So whenever you are not peaceful, not happy, the wrong thought or the evil roots are there. And this is how you detect them. And when you detect them, the first cultivation is what? The right effort to abandon. So now assume you understood what wrong thought is. You have to be mindful of them, the training. And when you are mindful of them, like anger, a lot of people tell me, Brother Theo, it just come. There is nothing I can do about it. So, no need to cultivate. And the best is one of the retreat participants, remember, Get Hoon. Brother Theo, isn't this human nature? He said human nature, you know. Because he said, people are born to be angry, you know. Born to have this type of emotion, you know. No, it has nothing to do with this. Of course, you are born according to your karma. You are born of your karma, heir to your karma, condition supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. So that aspect is perfectly true. But your character, your emotion, the way you understand things, you have a choice. It's not human nature. When you have right view, when you have right understanding, you become different. You will follow the advice of the Buddha to abandon all evil, to cultivate goodness, wholesomeness. Because you know the law of karma is so powerful. If I don't do that, it will lead to coming negativity, it will lead to downfall. And my life, I don't want to end up that way. That's why you hold the key to your own life destiny, to be happy or to be unhappy or miserable. It's entirely your choice. That's why this teaching will open up the understanding for you to have the ability to transform your life, to change your life, character-wise, personality-wise, understanding-wise. You can become so different that you can reap the fruit of your understanding to bring about the good life, the good karmic inheritance, the good wholesomeness that you have developed and cultivated. And all this will bring forth the causes and conditions for you to reap all of this wholesomeness. Beautiful understanding of life. Then all of the good things that you have done to people or to the world, when it comes to fruition, you will receive them, you will reap them, because you reap what you sow. So this understanding will spur you to cultivate this right effort. So coming to the cultivation part, there are five ways to cultivate. What are the five ways to abandon wrong thought? After the four right effort, then five ways to abandon wrong thought. This is taught by the Buddha. What are these five ways? The first two is thought-based. First one is what? Yeah? Let's say you have anger. How do you abandon this anger? Yeah? Think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. That's why this one involves the thought. Think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. And what is the direct opposite wholesome thought of anger? Huh? What is it? You have to think of loving kindness. Metta. When you read it, love and metta, starting from your own body and mind. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy. Well and happy. Your mind can only do one thing at a time. When there is this loving kindness in you, when you have this love in you to radiate well-being and happiness to all beings, even to yourself, you cannot have anger anymore. That's why this one will allow you to abandon the wrong thought. So when you think of the direct opposite wholesome thought, this was what the Buddha taught to Rahula. Then the second way is what? Yeah? Second way is what? Think of the consequence. Consequence of what? Holding on to this wrong thought. What is the consequence? What are the consequences? Let's say anger. If you hold on to this wrong thought, which is anger, which is an evil root, what will happen? It will make you evil, isn't it? It will bring about karmic negativity, isn't it? Downfall, isn't it? Is that what you want? If you don't want, you better root it out straight away. Because when you see the danger, the consequence or the danger of holding on to that wrong topic, it makes you evil. Then it leads to karmic negativity, your downfall. It will make you miserable. When the fruition of it comes, people will hate you. People will do back the thing that you cause to people. And this is what karma is all about. So when you think of the consequence of holding on to that wrong thought, you will be aware that this is not the way to live your life. Because if you do that, means you are violating the advice of the Buddha. You're supposed to abandon or avoid all evil. You are not avoiding them. You are not abandoning all this wrong thought. You are feeding on the anger, the hatred. That's why you hold on to it through delusion, through your own heedless thinking. And these two are thought-based. These two, they are not meditative. They involve the thought. They are still thought-based. Okay. Thought-based. Then the third way is what? Maybe I use another color, huh? The third way is what? Huh? Just silence your mind. So this one, third way, is meditative. Just silence your mind. Means the silent mind. Just silent your mind via sati or mindfulness. And this is the meditative way. These two are meditative. That's why the Buddha said, when you meditate in the Satipatthana Sutta, the first category of Dhamma that you meditate on is what? Yeah? Mindfulness of what? The five mental hindrances. And what are the mental hindrances? They are the hindrances of mind, born of the three evil roots. They are all wrong thoughts. First two is sensual desire and ill will. What did the Buddha say? When there is sensual desire, you must be what? Aware. That's why just silent and be aware. Then let it arise. The moment it has become sensual desire, means craving, is already a mental hindrance. It will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. So if you are just silent and aware, you will be aware of these evil roots of greed and hatred, of these first two mental hindrances. That's why when you are aware, then you know how to deal with it. Then you will come to understand how the non-arisen mental hindrance or evil roots of greed and hatred comes to be. How do you know? Because before you are angry, there was no anger there. Before the sensual desire or the craving arrived, there was no sensual desire and craving, isn't it? Do you understand? Like anger, when it arises already, let's say it arises. The third way, you didn't have the wisdom yet. You're just aware. Then you're aware. You stay silent. Let the anger arise. That if you continue to be aware, don't feed it with any thinking, what happened to the anger? It will cease to be there. It will dissipate by itself. Where you are no longer feeding it with the wrong thought. You are no longer making it more and more angry. You got no more issue with it. You accept it. Because these are dependent originating, mind state, condition arising, not me. Anger was never me. Sensual desire was never me. Due to wrong view, the mind still react and it arise. Then when you continue to be just aware, silent, it ceases to be. At the end, the Buddha, under the Satipatthana Sutta, the Dhammanupassana say, you will come to understand how the arisen mental hindrance ceases to be. Just by not doing anything. That is what meditation is all about. Then he gives the analogy of the bullocka and the pool of water. He asks Ananda to collect the water. First two times Ananda went, he said, no, the water is not clean. We cannot make use of it because people's block out of view, they go over and the water become muddy. So your mind is the same. If there is nothing to stir it, the dirt or the impurity, they will not arise. If there is no wrong view to stir the mind, your mind is clarity, purity. Just like the water, if you don't disturb it, it is clear. There is no sediment mixed with it because there is no stirring. That's why all this deva satta. And the third way is just precisely not doing anything so that the original mind before the stirring, which is silent, peaceful, aware, they will come back to you. And that is what meditation is all about. You're supposed to understand that. Then after that, you know how it arises and how it ceases. You go and develop the wisdom so that in future it cannot arise again. And that one is the fourth way. And the fourth way the Buddha taught very simple. What did he say? Yeah? What is the fourth way? Trace the origination factor. Trace the origination factor. Then, retrospectively, reverse it. This is also under Dhammanupassana, the third category of cultivation. Dhammanupassana, the fourth foundation, there are five categories. First is mindfulness of the five mental hindrances. Then mindfulness of the five aggregates of form and mind. Then you have the mindfulness of the six internal sense spaces and the six external sense spaces. That is the fourth way. So the Buddha said, trace the origination factor. How does this wrong thought of anger or sensual desire come to be? If you continue to silence your mind, you will come to understand. Before you get angry, there was no anger. But the moment you see something, recall something, or hear something, then your mind, through your wrong view, you react and stir. Then this negative emotion, which is anger or sensual desire, they arise. That's how you trace. It's from one of your senses, sense dog. Sometimes more than one. After you see, you think, you recall. It's a combination of two. Then sometimes you see, you recall, then you hear. Again, you react. So when you have this mindfulness to trace the origination factor, then you tell yourself, why should I react? This is what contemplation is all about. How come I react? How come I cannot accept what I see, what I hear, and what I think and recall through the senses. How come sense experience has so much power over me? How come I continue to stir and react and arise all this evil root? And this is what meditation is all about. So when you trace the origination factor, you should, through that understanding, retrospectively reverse them. So the inquiry is like second turning. Why did the Buddha say I must cultivate the mindfulness of the 6 internal sense bases and the 6 external sense bases? Then how can I develop it with understanding? Then as you cultivate, you will come to realize all this. Oh, this is how it arises, through my senses, sense experience. Then you trace back, you realize your wrong view. Well, that is your conditioning, your habitual tendency, your wrong view. You tend to perceive things with negativity, wrong view. You don't understand the universal characteristic. You don't understand life. You don't understand nature's law. You want things your way. You have craving. You have desire. You have self-delusion. All these are born of your wrong view. So what must you do? You have to? What must you do? After you listen to Dhamma, develop the understanding, what must you do? You have to straighten your view, isn't it? Otherwise, your wrong view will continue to condition the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, and all those things. That's why you cannot cultivate. After you straighten your view, what happened? Yeah? After you straighten your view, what happened? You are no longer deluded, isn't it? You are no longer like before, isn't it? So when you have straightened your view, means what? Like the Buddha said, you have to develop the understanding to see things as they are. That they are all conditioned arising phenomena. They exhibit the characteristics of impermanent, leading to suffering. And they are all empty, non-self, not what you think. So when you have this right view, the next time you see the same thing, hear the same thing, or recollect the same thing, you will not be like before. You will not react, you will not stir. Because you come to realize that they are all impermanent. The moment you grasp, you cling and hold, and want things your way, suffering will arise. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can hold on to, grasp onto and cling onto and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. So when you awaken to this truth, then you become very different. Then you can see the world with wisdom, with understanding. You are no longer deluded. You are no longer gullible. Then no more ignorant. No more avijja. No more sankhara. That's why you don't think anymore. You don't arise any thought. You just see things as they are. Accept them for what they are. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. Deluded people do deluded things. Selfish people do selfish things. Ignorant people do ignorant things. So when you can accept things, we are seeing things as they are, not reacting anymore, not stirring anymore, because you know that they are all not real. They are all impermanent, leading to suffering. There is no absolute, unchanging entity within. And because of that, you cannot own them, you cannot possess them. That's why it is empty. Non-self, not what you think. So when you have this ability to understand through your wisdom or understanding, after you have traced the origination factor, then you can awaken to the universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state and non-self via your meditative training, the daily mindfulness. In the midst of life, when you're continuously aware, you will awaken. The silent mind will awaken to their characteristics. You will come to understand through the direct seeing, the direct knowledge and vision of the reality, the awakening will happen. Then when it happens, you will not react like before. Whatever you see, you hear, you smell, you taste, you tactile feel or think, you can accept them for what it is. That's how you free your mind. That's how you will come to know how, in the future, all these evil roots, all these mental hindrances, they cannot arise anymore. Because your mind is no longer gullible like before. It's no longer deluded. It cannot be deceived in whatever manner or way. Okay? So this is the most important, the third and fourth way. This is meditative. Then the last one, like I have explained earlier on, the Buddha said, if the first four way he taught you, you cannot apply or use, then you have to do it yourself. If your tongue against the palate, you have to determine to abandon all this. Otherwise, nobody can help you. So this is what the five ways to abandon unwholesome thought is all about. The first two is thought-based, related to the four right effort. The third and fourth way is vipassana, meditative way. The fifth one is your own self-determination, nothing else. Can follow? Yeah? I hope it is clear by now. If you cannot follow and cannot understand all this, then I ask you a very simple question. Then how can you cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path? The Four Right Effort is the simplest and the easiest. And this one you don't need to really strive. You only have to go into life, develop the mindfulness, the awareness, and the understanding of what constitutes evil, what constitutes wrong thought. Then the right effort to abandon them, prevent them from arising. So just now I have covered the wrong thought. But what constitutes right thought? The third, right effort. Right effort, third right effort is to cultivate the right thought that are still not in you. What are the right thought that you should cultivate? Yeah? What are the right thought that you should cultivate? Of course, the first four, loving kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, and equanimity, or upekkha. These are the four right thoughts. But this one, not many people know how to do it. Maybe metta, you all know to some extent. But the real metta is different. That's why you don't have understanding and wisdom. This virtue or right thought cannot come out. Because what normal people cultivate is right according to them. Do you see the point? Huh? Right thought according to who? According to you. But when you have the wisdom and the understanding, then that right thought is not according to anybody. It's according to your understanding. What constitutes right thought? So what are right thought? Yeah? The easiest way is to define as what? Thought that does not have the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And that will make it easier, isn't it? And then what constitutes right thought? Let us name them. Yeah? What constitutes right thought? Huh? Come, fire, shoot. Huh? Huh? What constitutes right thought? Huh? Generosity, very good. Wait, huh? The four Brahma Vihara. This one you have to go back and reflect, hey? Contemplate. Huh? Then, thought of generosity. Yeah? What else? Generosity. Then, what else? Huh? Patient, yeah. Patient is okay. Can't be, yeah? Yeah? But this one, you have to be careful now. You can end up as suppression now. Kanti is endurance through understanding. Not that type of patient. In Cantonese, they call yan. Not that type. That type is suppression. Yeah. Then, what other thought? All of you, kind, sincere. All your kind thought, your sincere thought. Huh? Then what else? What else? Your respect. Your gratitude towards those who have been kind to you. Gratitude. Then what else? Humility. Some more? Humility. Then what else? Contentment. Honesty, very good. Contentment. Honesty. Some more? What? Receptance. Acceptance, yeah. Acceptance. Then? Forgiving. All of your forgiving thoughts. Then what else? All of your pleasantness. Pleasantness. Kindness you have already, yeah? Kindness, eh? Goodness. Goodness. Wholesomeness. And your other virtue. Virtuous thought. Virtuous. Oh. We use virtue, Virtue. Okay. So all these are what constitute right thought. And there are many. The other one is appreciativeness. This one is very important. A lot of people miss this one out. Appreciativeness. This one is very important. When you can appreciate what people has done for you, what society has given to you, what nature has given you. That's like the great generosity of nature. Nature just give and give and give. The air you breathe, the water you drink, all of the food that come from nature, the sunshine, the energy that you receive from nature. That's why nature has a lot of loving kindness, great generosity. Nature just give and give and give, they never take. But living beings, through their delusion, through their selfishness, through their wrong view, they create a lot of disruption to nature. They pollute nature. They bring about a lot of contamination to nature. And they abuse nature. So when you do all this and you destroy nature, you are part of nature. So you will be destroyed in the end. You reap what you sow. So all this are very important understanding that you can develop from the cultivation. You become very sensitive. You will never have any thought or intention, mental intention, to harm, to deceive, to cheat, or to take advantage of situation. You develop all the opposite virtue. your generosity, your kindness, your sincerity, your contentment, your love, your compassion, your ability to give joy to people, to bring about better world. When you cultivate the right effort to arise the right thought that are still not in you, you actually enhance the human consciousness, the planet's consciousness. You not only don't pollute, you enhance it, you make it better. And the world, which is our planet, the world's consciousness is a summation of all the individual humanity's consciousness. So if you can contribute towards the improvement to this world consciousness, you are contributing towards society, towards the planet's life, towards the planet's love and compassion. That's how you can play your role. The individual must change. Then when the individual change, the sum of the individual is what the planetary consciousness is all about. And the whole planet will change. That's why it will awaken. And we will have the golden age. Yeah. And then there is great possibility for our planet, for the human race. So this is what cultivation is all about. Then after that, the fourth right effort is to refine upon all this. Then you can even extend it from right thought to right speech, to right action, right livelihood. Whatever that has the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma that bring forth all your goodness, wholesomeness, virtue, born of wisdom, they are all part of the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. Then from right thought, you will arise, you will condition the right mental intention to arise the right speech. Then you have to learn to arise all these right and good speeches. You have to abandon all the four wrong speech. Then you have to develop and refine upon and perfect all your right thought and right speech and right action. Speak gently, pleasantly. Speak with understanding, with love, with kindness, with compassion, to bring about harmony, to bring about peace, to bring about understanding, to avoid negativity, division, conflict, and all those things. These are all right speech. Good, gentle, pleasant, and appropriate speeches that has love, that has compassion, that has understanding, to bring about harmony, peacefulness, great relationship, yeah, or fellowship. Then you have to act with sincerity, act with kindness, generosity. These are all right action. Then you must have gratitude towards people who has helped you. You must appreciate what your spouse has contributed to your life, to your household, to your family unit, and how all those who have supported you before, like your parents, give you life, care for you, sacrifice for you, love you so much. And they are the one that bring you to this world. They are the one that has the ability to sacrifice and provide for you, for your daily needs, your education. When you are sick, they care for you. They look after you. They worry for you. They are willing to spend a lot of their earnings or saving on your education, on your future. That's what love is all about. There is no selfishness behind. So you must express your filial piety, your gratitude towards them, your kindness towards them. Then when they grow old, you must repay whatever gratitude you have towards them. You have to be appreciative of all the good things that they have done for you, the education that they have given you, the love, the support, the sacrifice, and all these great things. Come in, my daughter is here. Yeah, Sadhu, come. We are almost ending. So anyway, it's about the four right effort: to abandon the wrong thought, to prevent the arising of this wrong thought. To prevent arising of this wrong thought, I haven't explained. I only explain what constitutes wrong thought and the five ways to overcome wrong thought. The first two ways is thought-based. Think of the direct opposite wholesome thought so that you can reverse them. If there is hatred, you think of loving-kindness and metta, then you will abandon. Then think of the consequence of holding on to this wrong thought, which is an evil root, will make you evil, cause your karmic negativity and downfall. That's why you don't do it. Then third way is meditative. Just relax, silent, and aware. Then you will come to understand like what Jai Krishnamurti say. The very flowering of that thought is the very ending of that thought, like anger. He has a reason how to abandon it. You don't do anything. You just silent, aware. It will cease to be. Because it's condition arising. When the supporting condition no more, when you don't feed it with any more negative thought or thinking, then the thought will cease. Because anger is a condition arising state born of your wrong view. You react and stir to what you see, what you hear, and what you recall through mind or memory. Then the fourth way is to trace the origination factor, then retrospectively reverses. This one is the meditative part involving the mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and six external sense bases. It's always from one of the sense doors, sometimes two. After you see something, you recall through memory, then through your wrong view, you react and stir. That's how you get angry, unhappy. Then when you trace it, then you know this come about through your wrong view. Then you straighten your view to see things as they are, to accept them for what they are. Because angry people do angry things, deluded people do deluded things, selfish people do selfish things. They are just the way they are. And the world is the world. The world has its own nature's law that governs life and existence. When we understand, we can be at peace. That's how the fourth way, through this right understanding, we straighten our view, then we no longer react to what we see, what we hear, or what we recall through memory. That's how you can abandon them all. Then when you develop this wisdom and understanding, you can arise the second right effort to prevent them from arising. Because you know how it arises. Then when you are mindful, the moment you see something again, hear something again, you are aware that your old habitual tendency, your conditioning, is going to react again. Then through this understanding, this wisdom, which is yoniso manasikara, they will come to you. Then you will recall, they are just the way they are. Finish. Your mind doesn't react anymore. That's how you prevent them from arising. The second right effort to prevent the arising of this wrong thought. Then the third one we have developed is the right effort to cultivate the right thought that are still not in you. So all these right thoughts we have gone through, thought of generosity, patience, kindness, sincerity, respect, gratitude, humility, contentment, honesty, acceptance, forgiving, pleasantness, gentleness, kindness, goodness, wholesomeness, and all other virtues like appreciativeness. Even filial piety is also a right thought. Expression of gratitude towards those who have helped you before. These are all right thoughts. So the whole of the cultivation, when you understand, you can develop it. But when you don't understand, it's not easy. The topic may be easy, but it's not what you think. Because this four right effort is basically thought-based. But the five ways to overcome unwholesome thought as taught by the Buddha, the third and fourth way is meditative, wisdom way. And like I explained, to arise the four right effort, you have to understand what are wrong thoughts. Wrong thoughts are thoughts that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, the three evil roots or the three poison. And what are the three poison, the three evil roots? What constitute evil? You have to understand. That's why the whole cultivation is all in the teaching. Then you can expand on these three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. It's not only your greediness, all of your selfishness, your craving, your desire, your lustfulness, your possessiveness. All these are part of greed. Then the evil root of anger, they are not just your anger, your hatred. Your jealousy is included, your envy, your dislike, your negative emotion and feeling. Then delusion, apart from self-delusion, delusion can trigger off a lot of negative mind state. All of your fear, worry, anxiety, leading to restless of mind, sorrow, lamentation, and unhappiness, these are all born of delusion. Not understanding the truth, not understanding the reality, the nature's law that governs life and existence. All this, when you don't understand, then it becomes a problem. That's how living being has suffering, misery. So, this four right effort, the first two, like I explained at a very early stage, they involve the abandoning of wrong thought and the ability to prevent them from arising. Then the third and fourth relates to right thought. You have to cultivate the right thought that are still not in you. But you have to understand what constitutes right thought. Then after that, the last one is to refine upon it and perfect all these right thoughts that are already in you. And this will complete the whole training of the four right effort to become an integral part of the Noble Eightfold Path so that it can lead you to enlightenment. Because the enlightenment as taught by the Buddha is not just wisdom alone. You can have wisdom, but you don't cultivate the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, born of the right view and right understanding. And the wisdom developed through the four foundations of mindfulness, the enlightenment is still not complete. Because the enlightenment that the Buddha talked about is the Noble Eightfold Path. You have to be very noble in all aspects of life. Not only in understanding life, which is right view. You must be very noble in the way you conduct yourself, how you arise your thought process. They are all perfect. Right thought leading to right speech, right action, and right livelihood. It means the way you live your life is in accordance with this Noble Eightfold Path, this right understanding and wisdom. So the enlightenment that the Buddha talked about is very different. In fact, it has nothing to do with the great meditative mind state that you experience in the meditation, because life itself is the meditation. Noble Eightfold Path, you look at it, they all relate to life. And you cannot understand who you are, what you are, and what is life all about. But you cannot understand who you are, what you are, you cannot understand life. But basically, you are life. The five aggregate of form and mind, that is the one that manifests. That's why the Buddha said our mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything comes to be. So what is life? Life is about arising of this mind. Then your phenomenal world of consciousness arises. Then you're supposed to develop the wisdom through understanding all this very clearly. We are awakening to their characteristics. The three universal characteristics of impermanence leading to suffering, empty nature, non-self. And this is what the teaching is all about. So with this, I will end my today's sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. If you got any questions, you can ask while I have a drink. As usual, no question. Can you all develop the understanding or can you all follow? Yeah? That is more important. I think by now most of you should have the ability to follow and develop some form of understanding. But to put it into practice is not easy, not what you think. What I have explained is just a very superficial summary of what you're supposed to do. But when you really go in and do, you will understand what I mean. There is so much more to it. Otherwise, this understanding cannot come forth. The noble quality of a noble one, which is the noble eightfold path, they cannot become a part of you. They cannot manifest within your own form and mind. Okay, if there is no question, maybe we shall end. Okay, we will. You want to do the sharing of merits now?
I think before that, we would like to extend a token of appreciation from the guy.
The usual way, your expression of generosity. This one come from your society, I rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Brother Chowka, this is for you. So on behalf, I extend it to Brother Chowka because he provide transport for us. Today, 7 of us were in his car. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then through generosity, he donate back to your center. So like no work done, but a lot of wholesomeness get done. You get to rejoice, sadhu. Then you get to exercise that generosity because that offering comes from your society. All of your members, you partake. Then when I offer back to Brother Chua, they also receive wholesomeness and you all rejoice again. Then when he offer, there is wholesomeness again for him and the family. That's why when you have the understanding, that same money can go many rounds. The economists, they will understand this. Even accountants, they will understand this. Send the money one round. Work get done. That's what the government is supposed to do. If there is no leakage, it's very good. Because you don't need money to create economic activity. As an engineer, I know. Because we design. Then we construct. Then, of course, a lot of consultants are involved. Then contractors are involved. The client is involved. So the client come out with money. But most of the client are very smart. They don't come out with their own money. They borrow from the bank. Then what the bank do is they finance you in the very beautifully decorated word. I finance your project. What they are doing is business. They provide capital financing, or they call it end financing. You know what they do? They say, you come out with the capital first, equity financing, 30%, you must come in. Then they only later come in, 70%, bridging finance. Then the condition is, your project must attain a sales of how many percent they want to play safe. And they charge you for financing, for all these things. That's why that is what society is all about. Then what happened? Everybody get paid. Consultant get paid, contractor get paid, worker get paid, supplier get paid. And all these people who get paid, they have to pay tax. Understand? Now not only income tax, consumption tax, GST. So the multiplier effect, after you buy with the same money, the guy who make from you, they also have to consume, they buy. So the government keep on collecting GST tax, direct and indirect. You go overseas, passport also they charge. airport tax, all the tax, everything you buy, GST, air ticket also GST. So the government actually get back a lot of their money, understand? But all this will get done, understand? That's what the world economy is all about. It's paper economy. If you believe that paper, then people has the incentive to work. That's how the world can become very, very beautiful. Because through all this idea created by humanity, they can give rise to incentive for people to work very hard. And when you work very hard, you can earn the money and spend it. They are very willing to work extra hard, doubly hard. Because money earned can be made use of. Yeah. But those who don't understand, they keep on making money. They forgot to use the money. So end up, they are the one that work. They work for money. The money they keep in the bank is not their money. So the Christian has this problem. When they die, they go to eternal heaven. Yeah? Then you know what happened. Their money is still in the bank. So the Mandarin got a pun. 人在天堂,钱在银行. That is the problem. After you die, you have gone to heaven. But your money, you cannot move to heaven. It's still in the bank. Understand? And the Mandarin word for 天堂 and the bank, 银行, quite the same. 人在天堂,钱在银行. So you forget to use it, or spend it, or make use of it for the good of the many, like all the virtuous thing that you can do, the wholesome thing that you... And these are good karma that you inherit. That's why when you are kind to people, generous, have respect for people, gratitude towards people, appreciative towards life and all those who have contributed to your success, or help out in your family unit. These are the virtues that can bring forth a lot of wholesomeness, a lot of good karmic inheritance. So in future, people will be kind to you, good to you, respect you, generous to you, appreciative of what you have done for them. Then there will be filial piety towards you, because when you are parents, you did your duty very well. And your children appreciate what you do. Then in future when you come, you will have good parents who will look after you. Then you will know how to express that filial piety, that that gratitude towards them. So this is what the law of karma is all about. You reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. If you plant the seed of wholesomeness, the seed of goodness, kindness, the fruit of it will come back to you. But you plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. So your life, you decide how you want to live. If you choose to be heedless, by all means, go ahead. The Buddha said, the heedless are as if dead. You don't stand a chance. Spiritually, you are dead. Whereas if you determine to train yourself to be heedful, to be ever mindful, to cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, you will become very, very blessed. And you will become very beautiful. And you reap what you sow. So if you cultivate all this wholesomeness, goodness, it will come back to you as inheritance. This is what the teaching is all about. So be heedful. Strive on with heedfulness to plant the seed of wholesomeness, to plant the seed of goodness, kindness. They call it the wholesome karma. In Mandarin, they use this word very good. 种因结果 means the law of karma is about planting the right condition for the right fruition to arise. So you plant the seed of evil. 种恶因结恶果 You will reap the fruit of evil too. But if you plant the seed of goodness, wholesomeness, 种善因，结善果， then you will reap the fruit of wholesomeness, goodness. This is what the nature's law is all about. You reap what you sow. Whatever you do will come back to you. So you have a lot of delusion. You plant the seed of evil, selfishness, greed, possessiveness. In future, when you come, people will treat you the same way. They will also be very selfish towards you. They will create all the negativity that you have done to others back to you for you to experience. Okay, maybe with this, we should end our today's sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So we will do the usual sharing of marriage, transfer of marriage. Then you all can make your aspiration. Okay. Let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness, the meritorious action that we have developed over the past nearly 2 hours of sharing. We were determined to share all this with all beings, starting from the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva cirang rakkhantu loka sasana itta vata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya idang me nyatina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imiang me nyatina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo ibmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones, then we can end.